We begin in Sudan, where yet another ceasefire between the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces has been repeatedly violated. The humanitarian situation is fast deteriorating, with the warring generals showing little appetite to negotiate. Civilians continue to flee the capital Khartoum and other battle zones as foreign governments push forward with the evacuation of their nationals. Hiba Morgan begins our coverage, and a warning, her report contains graphic images.
Residents of Khartoum tried to escape on the first day of a 72-hour ceasefire announced by the warring sides. They'd been caught up amid heavy bombardment for 11 days. Now they're faced with other difficulties in trying to leave. The scarcity of fuel has made it hard even to reach bus stations. The cost of transportation to other cities has skyrocketed.
Those who have cash are getting out, heading to the Egyptian border, trying to see if they can get to the Ethiopian border and whatever. But there's a lot of many hundreds, thousands of other Sudanese who don't have that luxury. And I don't know what they're going to do.
The poor majority who can't leave are the most exposed.
We are really suffering. To begin with, fuels have run out. Bakeries are closed and we cannot find a loaf of bread. The same for meat. Prices have soared. 1 kilo of tomatoes costs nearly $9, let alone the sharp shortage of medicines. We cannot live here or even leave to other areas. We call on the government to do something to end this war, at least to allow us to flee.
And despite the U.S.-brokered humanitarian ceasefire, the fighting has continued in parts of the Sudanese capital Khartoum and elsewhere. In Omdurman, a shell landed in a Rumi hospital, wounding over a dozen people, including patients and medical staff. Al Rumi Hospital is the latest in the capital to be hit by artillery, forcing its closure and adding to a worsening situation. Its patients were evacuated to a nearby medical facility that was already dealing with an influx of people injured from nearly 2 weeks of fighting. Ending the war is not what the two warring sides meant by the ceasefire. Its aim, according to the warring parties, is to allow citizens and residents to access health care or move to safe zones while foreign nationals are being evacuated. But while those foreign nationals are being taken to the safety of their own homes abroad, these Sudanese are being forced to leave theirs.
Humanitarian impact of this crisis will be harsh. Before this crisis, Sudan hosted more than 1 million refugees and 3.7 million were internally displaced.
The UN says at least 20,000 Sudanese refugees have arrived in Chad. And on Sudan's border with Ethiopia, a similar scene. Sudanese civilians and nationals from up to 23 countries, all desperate to leave. Hiba Morgan, Al Jazeera, Khartoum.
The UN Secretary General has called on Sudan's warring generals to silence the guns. Antonio Guterres told the UN Security Council the conflict will not be resolved on the battlefield. Our diplomatic editor, James Bayes, reports.
In its first open meeting on Sudan since the crisis started, the Security Council received a dismal picture of the situation inside the country, with the UN Secretary General telling them violence could soon spread.
These 10 days of violence and chaos are heartbreaking. A prolonged full-scale war is unbearable to contemplate. Sudan borders 7 countries, all of which have either been involved in conflict or seen serious civil unrest over the past decade. It is a gateway to the Sahel, where insecurity and political instability are making an already catastrophic humanitarian situation even worse.
The Secretary General's special representative for Sudan was recently relocated from Khartoum, joining an 800-kilometre overland convoy to Port Sudan, from where he briefed the council.
The two generals continue trading accusations and issuing competing claims of control over key installations. There is yet no unequivocal sign that either is ready to seriously negotiate, suggesting that both think that securing a military victory over the other is possible. This is a miscalculation.
For now, the Security Council has been unable to agree a further statement on Sudan. There are plenty of things they could do. They could accuse the two rival generals of war crimes, even put sanctions on them. But they know the international community for now must continue to deal with both men to try and keep the patchy ceasefires continuing. James Bayes, Al Jazeera, at the United Nations.
Sudan's ambassador to the UN called on members of the Rapid Support Forces to lay down their weapons and integrate into the army. He told the Security Council that a solution to the conflict will be found.
I do not need physical evidence to prove the scale of the damages and suffering from this rebellion. But despite all of the above, Sudan remains a united state, assuming its functions with responsibility. We did not declare a state of emergency. The events have not had a regional spillover. Sudan will defeat these difficult circumstances. We hope to end the rebellion, and we call on the Council to understand the exceptionally urgent situation and grant Sudan the time it needs to come up with adequate opportunities to achieve positive progress that would bring Sudan to a better position and revive the demands of the revolution: freedom, peace, and justice.
Thousands of people are fleeing from Sudan to neighboring Chad. Ahmed Idris reports from Farchana in Chad, just over the border from Sudan.
This is a region that has seen, that has hosted thousands, hundreds of thousands, in fact, between 400,000 to 600,000 refugees from the Darfur region, and with the United Nations predicting 170,000 or even 200,000 people crossing over into Chad, things are getting desperate. On our way to Farchana here, we've seen truckloads of the World Food Program trying to reach this area so as to start the distribution of food. We understand that hundreds more are waiting to cross into Chad near the border area, 60 kilometers from where we are now at Adre. And basically, the World Food Program is trying to quickly deploy as many trucks as it can to get to that particular location. With the two sides still violating ceasefire agreement, first the Eid ceasefire agreement and now the 72-hour ceasefire agreement, there is little confidence that this conflict will be resolved anytime soon. And this is giving aid agencies like the World Food Program, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, a lot of concern that things will get worse in the coming days, and they are actually desperate. They don't have the enough resources to deal with the problem at hand at the moment. That's the situation right now at Farchana, and 65 kilometers away from here is a border between Chad and Sudan, which is the town of Adre, where hundreds of refugees are waiting for the United Nations and donor agencies to help as much as they can.